This is a presentation of Dawnforge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 556, A Bard's Tale. Today's sponsor is Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATA2017. That's bit.ly/ATA2017. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player.
Coming all the way from the exotic land known as Canada, buckle in for another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now presenting your hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Medros, a master of the fell and commander of demons, Fandeth, and everybody's favorite meat shield. Wait, meat shield? Who wrote this? I am not a tank. Ahem. The ever boastful warrior, Toasty, bringing you your news from the World of Warcraft. This is All Things Azeroth.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I am your host, Medros, and with me I have Toasty. How you doing, Toasty?
I'm doing pretty good. It's hot. It's real hot. But I'm good.
Cool. And we also have Fandeth. How you doing there, Fan?
Hi, I'm nice and cool because my air conditioning and my basement.
Must be nice.
Oh, it's so nice. It's wonderful.
My AC works in all my house, so my office is nice and cool too.
Oh, my upstairs is cool too, but the basement is cooler.
Fair enough.
Because, you know, heat rises and cold falls.
Okay, wait. I'm gonna put this in perspective here. I'm gonna put a picture of this mug I have on my desk in Discord. Okay. This thing was full of ice when I sat down to do the show earlier today. Like, I think about 20 minutes ago,
I don't see it.
Hold on. I'm putting it on there.
Still waiting.
Hey, you know what? I feel like we can talk about something while we're waiting.
All right, then. Fine. So how's your weekend by there, Toasty?
It was pretty good, actually. Finally got to do Tomb of Sargeras, and we cleared it in one night. It was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with a lot of the mechanics. I think it was Maiden with the Thaddeus-like mechanic. That was a lot of fun. Frustrating at some points, but I mostly blame the pugs for that. It was definitely the pugs. And maybe drugs. But mostly the pugs.
Now we have to admit there was one time that I kind of screwed up. Just once.
And I think we got screwed by DCs a couple random times too. All of a sudden somebody DC'd, like, well, now they're taking all those orbs right to the face. That was not a good time. And there was a giant hole in the center of the room, and I was really worried about that at first, because I didn't research this fight at all. And like, I see a lot of people falling into this hole. Turns out that's an intended part of the fight. And yeah, it was funny when we called a wipe a couple times just to reset everything, and me, never having gone into this fight, thought, just jumping into the hole, that seems like a good idea. I'll die right away. I don't have to worry about damage. It's good. No, you fall for a long time. Like, a long time. I'm pretty sure I was able to send a few texts and have enjoy some fresh air while I was falling.
Did you make a sandwich?
I thought about it.
Totally what I would do if I was falling.
I thought about it, but I don't think we had bread in the house at the time. Because the kids like eating Nutella toast.
You could have gone to the store and gotten bread.
Yeah, but then I'd have to put on actual pants. It was a whole thing. So yeah, that was the big thing I did in WoW this week. And then I leveled up my priest a bit more. I think I'm at 107 now. I know there's something else I did. I ignored my paladin. Like, I actively looked at him and decided, nope, not today. And did something else. That's about it. It was a pretty quiet week in WoW for me. this time around just because real life stuff got in the way this week. What about you guys?
Well, I just found out that two of the Articunos that ran for me were 100% perfect IV Pokemon, but, you know, that's not WoW, so. My week in WoW worked on my my alts, getting them to Concordance. Both of them are halfway through the last rank. I have preliminarily decided that some of my tunes, at least, will get additional artifacts just for the sake of using all these artifact power items I keep getting, but that will probably be just because they all have at least enough that I won't suffer badly on that, so. Yeah, not much else. Didn't do a whole lot of WoW stuff this week. Just doing basic, you know, daily stuff on most of my characters. How about you, Fen?
I know I did the raid on Tuesday, which was super fun. I was a little bit late because I had some last-minute stuff that came up. So, and then we were trying to cook dinner. So that went kind of late, so I missed the first few bosses. But it was fun to do a raid again, and I kind of miss it. So I definitely did a Mythic Plus so that I could... Oh, no. I definitely did not do a Mythic Plus because I need to do one today. Otherwise, I don't get my chest tomorrow. Boo. So I'll be doing that after the show, I think. Played some Diablo because on Thursday, the Necromancer... The new season 11, started, so I could play a seasonal Necromancer. That's been fun. Haven't done it much, but a little bit here and there. And I don't know if it was this past week or the week before, but I kind of worked on leveling my DK a little bit. Just a little, but it's fun to play something a little bit different instead of just grinding artifact power all the time and doing useless world quests that give me useless gear that's useless. Kind of feeling a little bit of a burnout from doing world quests, since I don't need artifact power, and I don't really want to farm legendaries, anything like that. So that's pretty much that's my week in a nutshell. It's been pretty quiet. I've been busy with a bunch of other stuff around home, so.
That's cool.
Oh, I guess what's going on this week in WoW? We get a new event. The Kirin Tor Tavern Crawl is going to be next Monday. Is that next Monday? July 31st? It is. Yeah. Next Monday. So, did you guys do the dance studio thing on Saturday?
I wanted to so bad.
Yeah.
But I made plans for this weekend, and for the past 3 weeks... I thought they were on Sunday. And then I get a reminder on my phone at about 11 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, like, yo, your event's in an hour. Oh. Okay. Oh, no. And it was for like a D&D group, a D&D thing that I was planning on doing with my friends. I was originally going to take Saturday and flesh out everything.
Yeah.
So I cobbled together what I could in an hour. And ran that for them. They still had fun, though. That's all that matters.
That's good.
Well, if they don't have fun, they're not worth it.
Yeah. I did log on when I got home to see if anything was still going on in there. I think it was about 3 in the morning. And nothing was happening in the auction house anymore. But it was still full of dancing people.
Oh.
I have a feeling they just, you know, hit slash dance and went AFK.
Ah.
Oh, yeah. I missed it. Just wait till next time.
Yeah, I was out doing Pokemon stuff all day.
Mm-hmm. And getting poured on, right?
A little bit. A little bit wet.
A little bit of rain. A little bit of flooding in the streets of Flatland Country.
Yeah, spending some time out of the tent at the Forks, watching as the water that is slowly flooding the area gets closer and closer. It was not fun.
Yeah. I know, yeah, whatever. It's not WoW related, it's not gaming related. we'll keep talking about what's up this week. This week is the World Quest bonus event, so yay, World Quests. and also the PvP Brawl Wrathy Basin, and I totally spelled the Wrathy wrong in the show notes. Wrathy Blizzard, sorry. Wow, I'm so fail. So both of those run from tomorrow, July 25th, through the 31st. I probably won't do the PvP Brawl because I'll probably forget. But I would like to check one of them out sometime. I keep saying that I will, and I keep not doing it. One day, I will. I think Wrathy Blizzard is just the one that does, like, the... It's snowing in Wrathy Basin, so...
Yeah.
You can't see as far.
Yeah, that was the first one they did.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So it's come full circle.
I had a lot of fun with the Wrathy Blizzard event last time, but I think part of that had to do with the fact that for once in the entire time that I've been playing WoW, when going into a random PvP battleground, people were actually communicating and not flaming each other.
Oh.
It actually worked out really well for us. We were communicating, we were just holding the points that we needed to be doing, we weren't overextending, there was no road fighting unless the horde engaged on the road.
Did you accidentally join a raided battleground? Because there's real communication in raided BGs.
No. I'm pretty sure I didn't. Now that you say that, maybe.
I doubt it. Queue for it specifically for a group with Groupfinder or something.
I might do that again, actually. Do a Wrathy Blizzard. I had a lot of fun last time.
Did you win?
Yeah, we did.
Nice. I remember way back when I used to play Wrathy Basin. I would say 5 times out of 7, the Alliance would win, and poor old Hordies would lose. I remember way, way back when we would actually do the quests where we turn in the scraps and summon things. That was cool. But, yeah, I didn't win very much. So there was a lot of yelling and kicking and screaming. So yeah, that's what's going on this week. It's a pretty late week in WoW.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that sometimes, right? I'm looking for the World Crest because I got some characters that could really use those the 5,000 resources.
Is that all the reward is?
I think so. Maybe. Yeah, I think that's about it. I've sworn I'm not going to log in during the show today. So I can't tell you. Sorry.
Okay.
But let's move on to the news, I guess. So Facebook provided some sad news this week. And it really felt weird to me because it came in... When the day came in, I wasn't working because I had a couple days off. And it threw me because I'm like, why is this coming on a Sunday? Because it felt like a Sunday, because that was my second day of my days off. But this actually happened on Friday. And Russell Brower, who was, until Friday, the senior audio director and composer for Blizzard, is no longer with Blizzard. He did explain that there have been a lot of changes in how sound is done at Blizzard. And he said that with the success of a sound decentralization initiative, which sounds totally corporate speak for basically they got rid of their in-house sound department. That's what it sounds like to me anyway.
That's exactly what it is.
He says his current position of overall senior audio director and composer is no longer relevant and is being eliminated. Now, he's been with the company for a lot of years. He's been over there over a decade. And I'm sad to see him departing the company. He has said that he will do some stuff for Blizzard on a contract basis here and there, but I kind of feel like their sound and the audio side of their products is naturally going to suffer the lack of somebody in house to do that kind of stuff. And it definitely doesn't seems like it would eliminate the ability to have a quick turnaround for audio for their games. What do you guys think?
I mean, just based on stuff that I've read since this news broke, it sounds like the practice of contracting out, of outsourcing the music, is a fairly common thing in the industry. And this sounds more like Blizzard was just lining up with the industry and, you know, cutting costs, potentially. I mean, to keep a composer on staff all the time, while it does serve some benefit, the work of a composer isn't necessarily required full time. At least, that's the way I perceive it to be. I feel as though Legion, which has had a pretty good soundtrack, as the expansion has progressed, we haven't seen, at least not that I've noticed, an increase in the number of original music. And I feel as though, just thinking back to previous expansions, while we did get the occasional one or two pieces of new music as the expansion progressed, outside of the initial launch, where we got, we've all bought collector's editions in the past. We've gotten those soundtracks. We've gotten those soundtracks that are included with them, and while there's demand for a lot of music as an expansion develops, as it's progressing through the content, there's less so of a demand. Keeping contact with Russell and, you know, and contributing as a contractor, I feel as though that's a bit more cost efficient than keeping him on full time. It doesn't sound like, I mean, based on what he's saying here, it doesn't sound like there was any ill feelings towards anything. I mean, he's still obviously willing to work with them. So I don't foresee a dip in the quality or quantity of music that we're used to seeing with Blizzard games.
I understand that that's a practice, and I hope that it won't negatively impact the quality that we've seen from Blizzard, which in some regards I feel is better than a lot of other companies. Maybe it's just me, though. What do you think, Fan?
I was shocked to see it, but I can kind of see, like, I mean, make some cutbacks here and there just to, you know, make things run better, and if there's a better way that you can, you know, bring him in for piecemeal stuff. I think Toasty kind of hit it right on the head with that. And, you know, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe, you know, since his departure, he's looking at releasing his solo album, so maybe that will go places for him, and he can explore new things. Sometimes it's not necessarily a bad thing to move on from one place to another.
Yeah, one cool thing that can come out of this is, because he's just working as a contractor now, he's free to lend his talents to other companies and other games.
That's very true.
I imagine doing something like doing the contractor thing, well, yeah, the work is not as consistent, definitely. But because he's a more established person within the industry, I feel like he has a wide opportunity to contribute to other projects. And we'll see some of that cool stuff that we're accustomed to from Blizzard games in other venues.
I'll be definitely be very interested to see where what he does next and what other stuff he does outside of Blizzard. Definitely mm-hmm. worth following, and definitely worth watching as well. All right, let us move along then, shall we?
All right.
Oh my goodness. Sorry.
Okay, so, one new feature that's coming in 7.3 is something called the Netherlight Crucible, and it's something that allows you to customize your relics. Yeah, customize your relics for your artifact weapons and access further progression for that artifact weapon system. Wowhead now has available a tool on their website that allows you to, you know, play around with those different customizations and all that. So, for anybody who hasn't fully followed the PTR stuff, the Netherlight Crucible is, again, like I said, something is an extension of the artifact weapon progression system. And you unlock that through having a certain amount of points invested into your artifact weapon. I believe it's, you know, you require Concordance, which makes sense. That's what we required the top trait for the previous one to get access to Concordance talents. It would only make sense that we access these by having Concordance. If that's something you're interested in, if it's something that you like playing around with, go ahead and check that out. It looks interesting right now. Unfortunately, any changes you make in the PTR don't actually save because this feature is still very heavily in development. So don't take everything you see in the tool or in PTR as gospel as to what's going to happen going forward.
So I saw the tool when you had linked it, but was there an article about it as well? I didn't see that, so...
Wowhead did a write-up on it. I'm trying to find that now.
Is it just AP that you use for it?
Yeah, I can't get the tool to work right now either, which is also pretty frustrating.
Yeah, the tool is not... I have the link, though. I'll send that in the Discord. I'm assuming, since it's part of the artifact calculator, that it will use artifact.
That's a good assumption, but at the same time, normally within the tooltip, there's something to indicate cost for artifact power, and this doesn't have that. Huh. I'm confused now.
Confused by what?
Well, I don't know. I'm not entirely sure how the progression works for the Netherlight Crucible. I assumed initially that you spent artifact power on it, but it doesn't look like that's the case.
I was actually reading about this while we were talking earlier. There are definitely some aspects that require a certain level of progression of your artifact. I think rank 2 requires artifact level 64. For one of them, the other one requires artifact level 61. So it sounds like we're gonna actually have to use that AP we have for extra concordance.
Okay.
But again, we'll also be getting more artifact knowledge in Argus as well. So.
What's also interesting about the Netherlight Crucible is that some of the things that you're able to pick from, I mean, that changes depending on the relics that you have in there. So, like, for this particular one that I'm rolling, my second level shadow talent is something called Shadowbind, where my spells and abilities have a chance to deal 1.6 million shadow damage and heal me for 166,000 shadow damage and heal me for 166,000 shadow damage. But I reroll now, and now my shadow one is something called Chaotic Darkness, where my spells and abilities have the chance to deal 60 to 300,000 shadow damage and heal me for 60 to 300,000 shadow damage. So those traits change depending on what you have equipped there. As far as I can tell, though... Oh, even the third level ones change, too. So yeah, everything changes, so it's something else to... It offers some level of random customization as well, which is cool.
Choices are good.
Yeah.
But there's always going to be the better things.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So shall we reverse in our show notes and hit the thing we missed?
Sure. I was pretty excited about this. So we finally have a world first Kil'jaeden kill on Mythic, and we actually have world second as well. So I don't remember what day.
I think it was last Monday it happened, because I remember we talked about it at the first thing in the morning at work.
Yeah. And then a couple days later, so Method killed him first, and then Exorcius came and also killed him, but much, much later. I think it was... No, I mean, the title of this interview that Method did was 7 days alone at the top, Kil'jaeden killers. So maybe we just missed it at the time of the show last week? I'm not even sure. But so there was an interview with Method on the fights, and or on the Tomb of Ser Garrus as a whole. A lot of positive things. Like, it was, they said it was definitely really challenging. Some of the fights were the most challenging they've done to date. A lot of frustration with Fallen Avatar and Kil'jaeden, because there were bugs in with them that actually made them not killable for the first little while, and so it kind of got to the point where you're beating your head against the wall because you know you can't kill this because the damage is too strong, and kind of demoralizing. But as soon as they knew that the hot fixes were going in, then it kind of raised their spirits a little bit, because now we have a chance that we could do this. Some of the other comments were that fight with the Maiden, they were one tanking it so that they could get more DPS and more heals out, and that was not intended. So I think Blizzard actually said, hey, this isn't intended for you to one tank it. We're going to buff up the damage so that your tank is going to get gibbed if you try to do that. So interesting feedback as they go. It's just, it's unfortunate that some of the fights are tuned so high that it's, that they're actually literally impossible to do. But it's a hard balancing act to do. And I mean, I feel like Blizzard came back and did the hot fixes in pretty good time. Just looking at WoW progress, it looks like they got Kil'jaeden on July 16th at 12:01. So that would have been Sunday night, ish. I guess. I don't. I guess that's probably GMT as well. So I don't know if this is local time or what. But still, congrats to them for killing it. And I definitely recommend reading the interview, because it's some good feedback. And I mean, these are top tier raiders, but they're not, I mean, they love the game. They have understandable frustration when things aren't working, but they do love the challenge, and they don't whine about things not working. They try to give feedback where they feel it's due, and I feel like they give really good feedback, and you know, good luck to the rest of the raid groups that are trying to finish off Kil'jaeden. I think we have a few US guilds that have defeated Fallen Avatar, and so they're working on Kil'jaeden as well, including there's an Alliance one called Easy.
And Fat Shark, yes, is still on 10th. Come on, guys, you can do it. World 3rd. Where's Big Stupid Guild? Big Dumb Guild is 50th. They're 7 of 9 still. I believe in you guys.
They might have quit.
No, I believe in them.
Midwinter. Midwinter is still 7 of 9 as well. Oh, Big Dumb Guild is US, Illidan. We found out last week. Was it last week? That Fat Shark Yes and Big Dumb Guild actually have Twitter accounts, so definitely. I think Toasty retweeted some of their tweets.
Yeah,
it was pretty fun.
Show them some love, guys.
Yeah.
And particularly, my favorite part of this interview was them saying that warriors are broken. I love that. Because it's broken in a good way. Although, I assume they're speaking specifically about arms, because that's what their DPS warriors were running as.
So you should go arms? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, I should. I won't. But I should.
I see. And rogues, too. Rogues are...
Well, I think they said specifically that the rogues... That the reason they stack rogues so much is because there's so much soak damage, and rogues have that ability that makes it not a thing.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, why not? If you can trivialize a portion of the fight, do it.
Yeah.
Do what you can to make it easier on yourself, right?
Yep.
On to more news. Some of my favorite audiobooks are written by Christy Golden. She is an incredible author. She has written characters that are engaging. She creates characters that we may have only known for a few chapters, but when things happen to them, we feel it. And it's been a while since she's written a Warcraft novel, about 3 years since her last Warcraft novel. And she announced on Sunday that she is going to be writing a new Warcraft novel, which is absolutely awesome, and I'm super excited for. No idea the subject matter yet. No idea what to expect of it. But I'm extremely excited to see what Christy is going to write for this amazing universe and how badly it's going to make me feel. Because I know it's going to make me cry. It always does. Her books are always that. Always do that to me. But that's just because she's writing amazing books. And unfortunately, in a world like this, people have to die.
No.
Yes.
I don't want it.
This may not be Game of Thrones, but people still are going to die. Sorry.
Fine.
So I wonder if her having the temp job with Blizzard has something to do with this. So she's actually in the house and working with the different lore masters within Blizzard and working on the Warcraft novel through that.
I would not be surprised if that had some effect, yeah. But yeah, it's really exciting. And I'm really hopeful that we get a really great book and it doesn't take too long because, you know, she's working for Blizzard. So all she has to write now is this Warcraft novel, right?
Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's going to be something related... It is going to be something related to the next expansion, but I imagine we'll probably find out at BlizzCon
what it
might be.
Well, I'll let you guys know.
Gee, thanks. I'll be getting virtual tickets, so I'll know.
Oh, yeah, like, Fan and I are going to be hosting the virtual ticket from the live broadcast from here the entire weekend.
Yeah, I might be doing that while I'm holding a baby.
This is true.
Oh, baby.
But yeah, I'm really excited. I really want to know what it's about, who it's about, and what we're going to see. So, yeah, really cool.
Any predictions from you guys? What it's going to be?
Okay, well, see, I thought that the next expansion would see us going to Argus, but we're already going to Argus. So then Jaina Proudmoore book 2? I don't know.
That's what I'm thinking, honestly. Just based on some of the stuff, I think knowing what Jaina's been up to throughout this whole thing, while the Burning Legion's been invading again and what she's trying to do, I feel like that could be a pretty good story to tell, and possibly why we haven't been seeing much of that in Legion right now.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Fan? Any guesses?
I think that's a really good thought. My guess was that maybe it would be like not necessarily related to the expansion and like Argus origin story, but I don't know how much that will fit. So I take that back, because it has to be something that's currently going on. If she's inside the Blizzard doors, it's very, and like I don't know. I'm just rambling about random stuff, but I agree. It might be Jaina stuff, and that'll be interesting.
Frasley also brings up another interesting point too. Sylvanas has been up to a lot in this expansion, and we don't necessarily know what. I don't recall finding out. We have the gist of what she was doing in Stormheim, obviously, because we all saw that cinematic. I'm not familiar with the horde questing in that zone, so I'm not sure if that was ever addressed there. Just the details of everything that she's been doing. But hearing more about that could be interesting as well. I think that would make for a good story. You know, we know the ending already, but what were the events that led up to that? Or maybe fallout from those events. Because there's going to be fallout from that. Either way, I am really excited to see what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's going to be very interesting. Alright, so let's talk about... I thought Garrosh was dead. What's going on here?
Well, you know...
Varian's dead, too, so...
The king shall never die.
They can live on within the Nexus, right? That's how it works. We will be seeing, I don't know when, one day, one time, we will be seeing Garrosh Hellscream coming to Heroes of the Storm. He'll be in the Nexus. Jeez. I thought I saw June 20th in the year. I'm like, that's already passed.
No, July 31st. The ending for end of July for him on PTR.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. Not like I play Heroes of the Storm. I really should.
Yes.
I did have fun when I played it with you guys.
No, I'm honestly, I'll probably end up picking him up because it sounds like interesting. I'm wondering what his alt is going to be right now. I hope it's something to do with his like old god, like Shaw Corruption. Because that would be cool.
I like his model without that crap added.
Oh no, I'm like my thinking is like his alt will be him getting corrupted and. Not having him constantly be corrupted. Because, yeah, I wasn't... Well, it was cool the first couple of times. Eventually, it was like, yeah.
His own model. Although, scrolling through the tweets, like the replies, there's some really good replies where they mess around with this model.
Yeah?
That where he does... Yeah.
I'm going to have to look at this now.
Yeah, you should scroll down. It's hilarious. Okay. The different gifts and stuff.
I hope... you know what? I wish Turn Zoo is in the game, too. Because then I just want that interaction between those two over and over again.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, a Sailor Moon transformation gif of featuring Garrosh. I love it.
Actually, there's only two, really.
And there's like a Michelangelo one. I think it's Michelangelo. Who did the Sistine Chapel?
I don't know.
Either way, I like that.
Yeah.
And then I look forward to killing him again and again and again.
And getting killed by him again and again and again and again and again.
See, what I'm hoping, what I'm hoping is going to happen is they're going to do Brawl. With Garrosh on one side and Thrall on the other. Like 5v5, all Thrall versus all Garrosh.
That's great. The one where he's wearing a suit.
Yeah.
And he's got big hair and it says, make Horde great again.
He did try. Yeah. They were great. They did improve for a little bit. And then they got significantly worse.
Yeah. I wasn't super crazy about that arc, but
But hey, we got to trash Orgrimmar, so all's good. Again.
Yeah. Whatever, I don't play that. I don't play them anymore. Except for when I do.
Alright, yeah. Yeah, I've seen you log on there a few times.
Yeah, that's where all my alts are. I'm not gonna pay $50 up, $60 US per character, so that's like 130 Canadian to transfer them? No, no way. Nuh-uh.
I'm surprised I've done it as many times as I have.
I'm cheap. And yeah, we've had chats about cheapness of our backgrounds and where we live, but I am the epitome of cheap.
Yeah, so I just throw money at problems.
You're referring to have the fact we all live in Winnipeg and we're Winnipeg because we're naturally cheap.
Well, there's other things too.
Okay.
But yes, Winnipeg has a lot to do with it. But well, you guys know when we went out to that place that we went for dinner that one time, and I'm like, I'm not paying for parking, rah. And I went and parked on the street. I found a spot that was a little ways away. Yeah, there. I'm like, I'm not paying for parking. Screw this. I don't want it. Because I'm cheap.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Anyways, that's enough talking about Garrosh. He doesn't deserve to be talked about too much.
Well, I mean, I gotta talk about him with this next story.
Aww.
Alright, so as we all know, Knights of the Frozen Throne is the newest expansion coming to Hearthstone. And the premise of these comics is a bard in one of the inns in the world telling stories of the Frozen Throne. And I'm not going to get too much into it. I want you all to read it because it's actually a really good read. And the art's really good. Basically, it's an alternate universe telling of the events of that whole arc, in the Frozen Throne when we were all up in Northrend. A lot of people went bad, or were forced to, or something along those lines, and yeah, I don't know, I really liked it. The comics, like I said, were well drawn, and it made for a funny story at the end of it all. I am intrigued as to... I feel like for the last comic they put out, Freedom, I should know who that character is on the last page who's speaking to the bard. I feel like he's an important character, but I don't know who it is. Either way, yeah, it's telling the stories of how all the various heroes in Hearthstone get their Death Knight E powers. That's not spoilers, because we know what's happening. We know what's happening in Hearthstone. So yeah. I fully suggest giving those a read. In order, it is Undeath Conquers All, Forest for the Weary, and Freedom. Did you guys have a chance to look those over?
I looked at the covers. The covers are pretty awesome. That's as far as I got.
I downloaded Made Fire. Did that count? No. Didn't think so.
I don't read books.
They're comics! they have pictures and everything. There's not a lot to read. Seeing all these makes me want to go back and collect all the old Warcraft comics. I have a bunch of them somewhere in my room. But I didn't get all the ones that I wanted to get. Reading this, I wish they kept going with that, because the ones I read I really enjoyed. And it's always nice to have more story about the world, whether it be about stuff that's already happened and just elaborating on those stories, or just a side story that's happening alongside the larger events in Azeroth.
Yeah, it's... I do smile every time I see somebody, like NPCs in game, playing Hearthstone. They've done some really good tie-in with that, I think.
Well, yeah. I mean, kind of have to. It's one of those things where a cross game tie-in is not only is necessary. And yeah, that's about it for the news. It wasn't a news heavy week. I mean, it's a bunch of PTR stuff, but we're always hesitant to talk about that stuff just because that's ever evolving, always changing. We gave you the major stuff and some of the spoilery stuff. I'm not going to tell you guys about Frost Mages getting nerfed by whatever.
It's okay. Well, let's talk about our first and only sponsor message for the week. Today's show is brought to you by the folks at Audible. They have great audiobooks. They have really good books written and read by great people. What I really enjoy, and I've kind of talked about a little bit about this before, is I really like when you read a biography which is written by the person it's about, and also read by them as well. Are you guys fans of the TV of the movies Revenge of the Nerds?
Yes.
Did you guys ever watch King of the Nerds?
No to both. I've never watched any of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I know, it's weird. I usually watch a bunch of this stuff.
If anybody I can think of who I would think would definitely have watched King of Revenge of the Nerds, it's you, Toasty.
Yeah, I feel like a bad geek because of that. Because a lot of this stuff that's, you know, expected from people like us, you know, giant freaking nerds.
Mm-hmm.
I've at least indulged in it once or twice, but no, I've never actually watched it.
Hmm. All right. Well, the book this week that I chose is Revenge of the Nerd. So it's a book by Curtis Armstrong. He has quite an interesting IMDb list. If you've ever had a chance to take a look at it, he's been in a lot of different things. He was in Moonlighting. He was in, of course, Revenge of the Nerds. He did the TV show with Robert Carradine for King of the Nerds, which I think Trade Chat was runner up or second runner up on that one. But he does a lot of different things. He's just finished a run on Supernatural, which he was very popular on. He's done a lot of stuff, and his story is really, really interesting. So I definitely recommend you check it out. But let's listen to a sample of Revenge of the Nerd. I will warn you, this sample is clean, but there is definitely some language that, if you have sensitive ears, you may want to skip this one. But it's really, really interesting, so let's give it a listen.
One of the advantages of being an American-born nerd of my generation is to have been able to reach this stage in my life and look back and realize how much our lot has changed. Most of it, unquestionably, for the better. It's easy to say that nerds have it a lot better today than they did in the 60s, because, strictly speaking, we didn't have nerds in the 60s. We had nerdy individuals, or pairs, even small packs, if you were really lucky. In the 60s, the culture, as such, was still years away. But people found each other in schools or in each other's basements or garages. We existed. We just weren't a force yet. Wherever any kid kept a bunch of comics in a cardboard box, we were there. Wherever monster kids gathered at some supermarket opening to meet Forrest J. Ackerman, Vampira, or Tor Johnson, we were there. We were learning folk songs, watching Buck Rogers serials at the cinema, or sci-fi films on TV on Saturday afternoons.
So that again is Revenge of the Nerd, written and read by Curtis Armstrong, well known for his appearances in Risky Business, Revenge of the Nerd, Moonlighting, and more. So definitely check it out. If you go to bit.ly/ATA2017, you can get a free trial. Give a listen to a free book and give a lot of samples. But if you really wanted to see what it's like, what this service is like, definitely check it out. And you get a free book. So why not give it a try? This again, bit.ly/ATA2017. And we thank Audible for sponsoring the show. All right, so Toasty.
Yeah?
Do we have something to give away this week?
Yes, we do. So why don't we start? Yeah. So let's start that segment by playing last week's clip.
All right, then.
Rise, my angels. Let your screams fill the streets of Orgrimmar with terror.
All right. And that was, of course, Sylvanas Windrunner. And the winner for last week was Kay Madsen. Congratulations. Midros will be in touch with your prize information.
And this week's is...
Unthinkable! The mortals will destroy everything! My sister, what have you...
Done?
Yeah, that's done.
Alright. No, I was just reading it because I didn't hear the end of the done part there, yeah.
Yeah. Alright, as usual, all answers must be sent in via Twitter using the hashtag ATATrivia. All correct answers will be entered into a random draw for next week's prize.
Did we end up giving the answer to the other one that we played for a couple weeks that nobody could get?
Yes.
Okay. I can't remember.
All right. So question of the week for last week was, what system would you steal from another game and put into WoW? SLO Town Jen, our good friend Jen, formerly of the Shattered Soulstone podcast, says, the transmog system from Diablo 3, it makes more sense to me than the WoW one and seems more efficient. KC414FM says, DAOC... Dark Age of Camelot housing. That was a really good system. I really, really liked that one compared to what we've had so far in our attempts for Blizzard. And Cinefire says, definitely some sort of housing, house building system. The one from WildStar was ace.
Yeah, I've actually heard a lot of good things about the housing system from WildStar. I wish I gave the game more of a chance, but it felt a lot like WoW in space. Specifically, Burning Crusade in space.
That makes sense, because, you know, we traveled through space, sort of.
So Rob Gala says, loot boxes. These could contain random transmog sets, toys, pets, etc. We kind of have something similar with the emissary boxes, so maybe they could build on that.
Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, right now they give us gear and resources, but having some of this other stuff would be pretty cool.
At this point, it's just vendor trash for us.
Yeah.
And then Frasley said, I would like the justice system from Elder Scrolls Online. It's fun having people to murder and steal from. Getting caught in towns and having to hide from the guards. That sounds fun.
Like, wasn't it really originally intended that WoW would have a system like that? Where you could lose reputation with a city faction?
Oh, you can do that.
Well, I mean, you can do that with certain things. We can do that with certain factions right now, absolutely. But I remember reading somewhere, like, originally that it was, like, the capital cities, like Stormwind, Ironforge, Orgrimmar, etc., where that could possibly happen. I don't know, maybe I'm just misremembering something, but I feel like that was originally intended and decided no.
Frezzy just mentioned that he meant more of the stealing system, which, no, they don't have that. Diablo 2 had, where you PK'd somebody, you could steal their ear and their gear, I guess.
Oh, yeah, Frezzy said it was the dishonorable kills, so yeah.
Oh, yeah, nah. Those sucked. I didn't like it.
Redzian says in-game spectating of raids and PvP matches. We talked about that a little bit in the Discord over the course of this past weekend. While it would be a novel idea, it would be fun to kind of watch that stuff. I think someone mentioned this point specifically too, that it would lead to like something similar to coaching spots for some of the other games that are played on the pro level, and it may not necessarily be what Blizzard wants.
Yeah, that's actually something that came up during one of the Ask Dev things, or Q&As. And so they had brought up that concern that, you know, it would it would mean that you would need to have a coach to do this sort of thing. And you could have people watching and calling games and stuff too. And just not as... It takes a little bit out of it. So, I mean, in that case, you're not really... There's somebody that's not playing the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a more of a meta game of telling people how to play the game. And it kind of sucks the fun out of it because it would become a required thing.
Right. Jung says, I'd like to see L2 from Star Wars The Old Republic first, a version of their companion system, not a carbon copy, just because there are a few things I did not like about it, and second, their transmog system, mainly the ability to unify the colors of the current gear you have equipped. And yes, I would love that. I find, like, with my transmogs, I find a lot of pieces that are close. I can get away with it, but it still bugs me a little bit. So being able to unify those colors, I would like. The companion system in Star Wars, I really enjoyed for the little bit I played of it. I mean, we do have a system in place right now in terms of companions, like the random NPCs we have wandering around with us just via the order halls. But I'd like to see it expanded on maybe. I feel like they could be done. They could be more done with the system than what they have done right now. There's, you know, you do a little bit of leveling and do there's champion gear, but maybe there could be something else. I'm not sure what it could be exactly, but it'd be interesting to see them work with that system a little bit.
We'll have to see. Our next week's question is, what is your favorite piece of music from World of Warcraft? I'm going to say, for me, it's the one we interrupted that when we came into this into thing. The Lament of the Highborn is an exceptionally chilling and touching piece of music.
For me, I think it would be the theme that... I don't know the name of it for the life of me, but the theme that played when we finally killed Arthas... I don't think that's Lament of the Highborn. I feel like it's something else. But, I don't know. That particular piece of music sticks out for me because that's the first bit of music that I heard and remembered vividly when I first started getting into World of Warcraft. Because I started after ICC launched. And right after the World First race finished, I watched the cinematic and that music just sticks with me.
What's your thing is Invincible. Follow of the Lich King.
That's it.
And yeah, it's really powerful.
I don't know what my favorite is. I know what my least favorite is.
What's that?
The one when you're in the in Mop in the
one of the inns.
Yeah, and that's a horrible impression of it, but it's. It sticks in your head.
And not in a good way.
And I don't like it. No. Not at all. But I don't... There is so much good music that I like. I just... Lament of the Highborn was kind of one of the first things that came to mind, but I can't really use that because Medros already said...
Hey, there's no saying that you can't like the same bits of music.
But, yeah, my least favorite is the one in... The veil inside the inn area.
At kazoos, I remember that.
I don't know. I like the music when you open up. Wow, I think that's cool.
Like the current music they're using for Legion. Yeah, that's really good. That's really good too.
I like so much of it.
Yeah, Blizzard has successfully had some of the most incredible music in their game. The art, the music, yeah. It's great games. Great games.
Yep.
Alrighty. On that note, time for shoutouts. My shoutout is going to go to the Australian Overwatch team, who were going to BlizzCon.
Oh man, they dominated during their first round. That was just... I was not expecting that at all. I didn't finish watching their final, but from what I understand, it was a really good watch.
Yeah, Rizian was talking about it. He was very impressed, so good for them. Any shout out for you there, Toasty?
I'm going to shout out the members of Linkin Park, and specifically Chester Bennington's family. I mean, Linkin Park was a band that was very important to me when I was younger. Very much influenced my taste in music to now. It was sad to see what happened with him, and for anyone out there who's in that kind of place, just remember, there's people you can talk to reach out for help, and you're not alone. What about you, Fenn?
My shout-out this week is going to be to Method EU for claiming world first. It's always fun to watch. And I look forward to... Always fun to watch progression races. I look forward to seeing their kill video when a couple more groups kill him, unless Exorcius gets theirs up first, and then I think they'll follow suit.
I think that actually came out today. I'm going to see something on the WoW subreddit.
I thought they just did like the nerd screams and stuff.
Maybe. I'll find it. Oh no, it's the actual video submitted 8 hours ago.
Oh, is it?
Okay. It's just a Twitch
VOD. I guess mod. It's been so.
Yeah, it's just a Twitch VOD.
So it's not edited.
No.
I like their edit.
Yeah, their edited ones are.
It has multiple. Views and stuff. Or multiple
POVs?
Yeah, points of view. Hui.
Those are always nice. Well,
in the meantime, you can enjoy that kill video complete with nerd screams, I assume.
Yay! Cool. Alright, it's about time for the end of the show, so you can do that trailer, Toasty?
Sure.
Cool.
If you'd like to reach us by voicemail, you can call us at 1-785-ATA-WOW5 or 1-785-282-9695. You can send emails to show@allthingsazeroth.com, and if you like what we do here, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. You can find the show over on Twitter at allthingsaz, Medros is at Medros, Fandeth is at Fandeth, I'm at ToastyPostyCan, and you can find the network over at Dawnforge. And please check out the other shows from Dawnforge Productions, including Group Quest, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, and Across the Hooniverse.
And we'll be back next week. In the meantime, take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of Invincible.
How will I know I'm on the other side if it's invisible?
Oh, well said.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dawnforge Productions, copyright 2017. Find us online at thedawnforge.com.